I'm worried. I'm worried about the future of the nation. I'm worried about the left's grand plan for their great reset. A reset that, if successful, will cost every single one of us. And I'm worried most at this very moment in time about the Democrats' intent to take Georgia. As Senator Chuck Schumer from New York said, now we take Georgia, then we change the world. Capitalists, freedom lovers, we cannot allow it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish, and as we speak, Stacey Abrams and her organization in Georgia are down there organizing votes, rallying their troops, funneling all kinds of money into that race. Conservatives, we need to be laser focused on this right now, because if not, you're going to have a blue Senate. I'm sorry. That is the reality of what we are confronting right now. The governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, says state law forces him to certify the results of the election in Biden's favor, given Biden's, 12,000 plus vote lead, though he says the Trump campaign can ask for that computerized recount. Don't forget, they just counted 5 million votes by hand there. And you know what? They found some issues, actually quite a few issues. And it's clear they can't continue to have issues like this. There should never be so much as one issue. One issue is bad. But they've got, thousands of votes that were miscounted. According to the governor, there were all kinds of problems, and they do need, he said, to fix these ahead of the runoffs. And I quote, the Secretary of State oversaw a complete audit which revealed significant errors made in several counties, including Floyd, Fayette, Douglas. And we demand, he says, complete explanations for all the discrepancies identified so that our citizens will have complete confidence in our elections. In the runoff election, we cannot have lost memory cards or stacks of uncounted ballots. We must have full transparency in all monitoring and counting. Every legal vote must be counting, and the security of the ballot box must be protected. So here's what happened. Okay, here's what happened in Georgia. You had Floyd County, 2,600 votes were not initially counted. I mean, that's 7% of the county's vote. President Trump actually wound up gaining 778 votes thanks to that discovery. The vote count problem there in Floyd apparently occurred because county election officials didn't upload votes from a memory card in a ballot scanning machine. And then you go to Fayette County, where a second memory card of uncounted votes was discovered. According to the Secretary of State's office, there were approximately 2,700 votes found on a memory card in Fayette County that had not been uploaded properly. President Trump actually wound up gaining around 400 more votes in that batch that were found in Fayette County. And then you had the third in Walton County, where the Secretary of State's office reportedly was investigating a potential memory card with 224 votes on it that may have been missed. I mean, this is not good. We can't have this, right? Like I said, you cannot have so much as one miscalculated vote, let alone thousands. And when you consider what is at stake right now, when you consider this upcoming Senate election runoff, this could be really problematic. Two Republican incumbents, Senators David Perdue, Kelly Loeffler, they are facing runoffs against some very, very well-funded Democrat opponents. Now, if the victory goes to these two Democrats, I'm sorry, but you can just kiss away our freedoms. I mean, you can kiss goodbye our freedom of speech, which is already, frankly, under enormous, enormous pressure and under attack. That's what cancel culture is all about. Our freedom to protect ourselves, our freedom to prosper. You can kiss it all goodbye, because these Democrats, if they gain control of the Senate and you have Kamala Harris there as the tiebreaker, then guess what? They have the House. They have the White House, and they'd have the Senate, which means they will limit our First Amendment, our speech. They will strip us of our Second Amendment rights, and they will tax us all and redistribute that wealth as they see fit, as they see fair. So when I say I'm worried, I really am. I really am. This Reverend Raphael Warnock, who's out there against Ms. Loeffler, this guy is alleged to have had, through his church, ties to Cuba and Castro. Apparently, in the 1990s, he was alleged to have hosted a rally there at his church for the communist dictator, and he was asked about it, actually on CNN. Jake Tapper asked Reverend Warnock if he attended the speech and if he understood why people view Castro as, quote, a murderous tyrant and not someone to be celebrated. And this reverend, you know what his answer was? His answer was, I will tell you what I understand. I understand that Kelly, I understand why Kelly Loeffler is trying to change the subject. I was a youth pastor. I had nothing to do with that program. I did not make any decisions regarding that program. I have never met the Cuban dictator. And so I am not connected to him. But you know, he never answered. He never answered whether he understood why Castro is not someone to be celebrated. I mean, and I find that quite telling. All you had to have said was, you know, he's a pretty horrible person. Of course, I understand that he was a horrendous, horrendous murderer and tyrant and dictator. He could have said something, right? He didn't. So it just makes you wonder, does he really understand? I mean, given that his church clearly loved him, that he's a murderous tyrant and not someone to be celebrated. I'm telling you, we need to focus our efforts right now. We need to focus all of our efforts on Georgia. It is so important for the country, for our economy, and for everyone's future. Coming up next, why is Andrew Cuomo getting an Emmy? Like a television Emmy award? Well, this news is rather interesting. Justin, guess who's getting a television Emmy award? The governor of New York. Not for his appearance on a daytime soap opera or anything like that, that you might think it might be, but rather for his daytime appearances in news conferences, you know, because he had all those television news conferences and therefore was able to use television in a meaningful way, according to the Emmy committee. The problem with this is that Cuomo's all spin. I mean, think about his record. Think about how many people died in the state of New York. Think about how atrocious it is that in April, he was sending people to recover from COVID into nursing homes, thereby exposing our most vulnerable citizens to COVID-19. And as a result of his stupendously dumb action, thousands of lives were lost. So now he's being heralded as some great star, you know, deserving of an Emmy Award because he was out there in front of it. You know what I'll tell you? He should have been doing instead of sitting there in front of the cameras all day. He should have been working. He should have been calling up these nursing homes and saying, do not take anyone with COVID-19. He should have been actually doing what one would expect of a governor who was dealing with such a crisis. You know, everybody wants to blame Donald Trump, but don't forget the way our country is set up and the federalist system we are, right? It ultimately was up to the states to figure this stuff out. That's the way the government was intended. So Donald Trump couldn't have ordered a national shutdown, forcing every single state, right, to shut down. It's up to each governor. And Cuomo, he talked a good game, but it really was all spin. It was about him being on stage in front of these cameras instead of doing what needed to be done, which was to protect the most vulnerable people while still keeping your economy going, right? You don't shut down all of New York City so that the 22-year-olds that are perfectly healthy can't go to work while simultaneously taking, in some cases, young people that were recovering from COVID and sending them into nursing homes? My gosh. And he gets an Emmy. Speaking of New York, speaking of Cuomo, the schools in New York City, you know, they're shutting down again. We've got schools all over the country shutting down again. It's kind of amazing. It's amazing to me that you can go out to dinner in a New York City restaurant, but kids can't go to school. I mean, it really shows you the power of these teachers' unions, does it not? Teachers' unions will continue to amass power with Joe Biden in the Oval Office. I mean, even President Obama, of whom I'm no fan, even President Obama could stand up to the teachers' unions, but not Joe Biden, and clearly not Cuomo, nor many of these other governors. And you know what's so tragic? It's the kids that are getting shortchanged. It's like the kids need a union, right? The American Medical Journal just published a study that says missed instruction during 2020 could be associated with an estimated 5.5 million years of life lost. 5.5 million years of life lost, the life expectancy loss, they say, is greater than anything we would have ever seen had we just left schools open and allowed COVID-19 to even spread in the schools. So think about that. 5.53 million years of life lost. Yet, hey, Cuomo gets his Emmy. Coming up next, the market way out over its skis, trading at twice its historical average. But you know what? You know what? All my concerns, they may not even matter, because the Federal Reserve and Washington, D.C. together are positively killing any kind of rational thought, any kind of normal give and take bull bear scenario, sending this market onto a very dangerous path. Okay, call me old-fashioned, but you know what? I just kind of believe in fundamentals, right? I believe that the market should trade off of fundamentals, which is why I like seeing good, healthy, strong economic numbers. But right now, we've got a group of lawmakers that are going to be ushered into D.C., along with Federal Reserve bankers that, for whatever reason, are always so intent on thinking they can really act as a kind of god, if you would, and influence human behavior in massive ways and therefore influence the economy and asset prices. I mean, together, all these guys are creating other problems for the markets. I mean, it wasn't the Fed supposed to guard against inflation, right? Well, they've ditched that. They're like not even bothering now. They're like, okay, well, that clearly didn't work. No, it didn't work in the typical sense, right? We weren't able to see any kind of real inflation in wages and prices over the last 20 years. Instead, we got it all courtesy of the stock market. Look at the massive inflation that you have seen in asset prices, right? And what is it really based on? It's like all these central bankers, and by the way, politicians, right? Because it's free money. Think about it. If you're a politician, why not, right? Like, why not print money? Why not say, oh, more stimulus, more stimulus, more? I mean, you're not going to be left handing or dealing with the repercussions, right, of all that debt. You'll be out of office by that time. So their incentives are not properly aligned. And the Fed, you know, they want to just pump liquidity into the system and drive up these asset prices. And so consequently, we're now looking at a Dow that's nearing 30K with no real fundamentals to support it. Now, here's the thing. If I knew that the Senate was going to stay Republican, if I knew that Donald Trump was getting another 4 years, I'd be a whole lot more encouraged, because to me, then you'd have fundamentals to support it. But with Joe Biden going in there, and possibly, I refer you back to the beginning of this podcast, possibly the Senate going blue, I mean, this could be disastrous. Yes, everybody's like, oh, great, stimulus, stimulus, more stimulus. Well, the market will go up because we have stimulus. I'm sorry. But at some point, you're going to need something to back it up. And if they are successful in getting through their stimulus and all these crazy other policy ideas that they're talking about, we're going to have real problems. I mean, Joe Biden right now is saying that we need to forgive. This is not a loan forbearance, right? They're going to forgive minimum $10,000 worth of student debt. Has anyone ever heard of the moral hazard argument, right? It's something that's talked a lot about in economics. So they want to forgive $10,000. Oh, by the way, Elizabeth Warren says not enough. Chuck Schumer says not enough. We want more, up to $50,000. I mean, it's like there's some kind of money tree, right? And they're just handing this out. At some point, it comes from somewhere. And what about the poor kid who chose to go to night school and pay for it as he went? You know, or the poor family that took a second mortgage out on their home so that they could send their child to school. You know, maybe the schools ought to bear some responsibility in this. Dare I say, maybe individuals should. Nobody wants the individuals to. And, you know, they're pointing out a lot of these kids are just kids and they're being sold a whole bunch of pipe dreams via the school, right? Somehow you can go to school and graduate with a degree in basket weaving, owing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you know, it's effectively your fault. I get it. It is your fault. But it's also the school's fault, right? And it's a little bit society's fault because we've put so much pressure on young people to go and get this 4-year degree, which costs an arm and a leg. And we've enabled it, these systems and these schools, to charge more and more and more. Why? Because we offer free money. There's all kinds of incentives, you know, all kinds of grants and loans that make it so easy for people to take out this money. But in some ways, it's kind of predatory, right? These poor kids that are taking out hundreds of thousands of dollars with no real way to pay it back. It is a form of predatory lending. And you know what? The schools should hold some responsibility. But what are they talking about? Putting it on the taxpayers again, right? It's going to cost upwards of $400 billion. That's like near subprime taxpayer tab levels. This is not real world stuff. In other words, I understand the challenges that we face during the subprime crisis years, but you know, we just can't keep reliving this like once a decade. And I'm fearful now that these lawmakers are going to try and use this pandemic to try and get through every single pet project they have, from student loans to higher taxes to all kinds of other leftist agenda items. And so it's a problem. This market is kind of out of whack right now. I would be very cautious and very thoughtful about things. I mean, hey, as Chuck Prince from Citi once said, you know, people keep dancing until the music stops. And right now this music is just going to keep going and going, and it's getting louder and louder and louder, and something's got to give. Neil Grossman writes a terrific piece. I encourage you to check it out at trishintel.com. You know, he makes the point that the Fed is so invested, right, in the markets going higher that they love every single stock out there. They've never met a stock they don't like. Anyway, check out the piece, trishintel.com, and I'm going to see you right back here tomorrow. Remember, Georgia.